Out of sorts, but hopefully after you hear the sermon outline, maybe you'll have an idea why there was some hesitation on my part tonight. Appreciate Jeff and his willingness to kind of, you know, not know till the last minute, but Jeff is good like that. Jeff doesn't need me to talk about how good of a guy he is. I do appreciate that. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 25 in a few minutes. If you want to go ahead and bookmark that. Hope you have a good week, as always. Hope you do. Hope you have a wonderful week. Now, some of you may be wondering, why has it been seemingly forever since Chris has been up here? Well, I'm going to, at the risk of revealing myself, at the risk of saying too much on the radio or wherever people are listening, Chris has kind of been having a little bit of anxiety issues since August. And I'm just going to ask you to pray about that. It's going to work out. It definitely is. But tonight, I'm going to try to use the platform to hopefully encourage some of you and hopefully provide some of you hope tonight. How many people in here would like to learn to worry more? Now, have any takers? Anybody want to learn to worry more tonight? You know, how many of us feel that our lives would be better if we could just spend less time with our family and spend less time getting enjoyment out of life and more time worrying about what may or may not happen? Let me ask you a personal question. In your life, do you find worry to be an occasional visitor, or do you find it a constant companion? Do you find worry and doubt and anxiety to be something that is mildly uncomfortable in your life, or is it something that you are starting to find intensely painful? Do you experience worry as a slight distraction? Is it something that just gets you every now and then, or is worry a force that has begun to completely immobilize you? The good news that I have for you tonight from God's Word is that God can help you to manage whatever you're struggling with emotionally tonight. God can help you to manage your anxiety. He can help you to manage your worry. He can help you to manage your doubts, your depression, whatever you say is your emotional infirmity tonight. The good news is God can help you through it. Emotional nuances and emotional distractions do not have to dominate our lives. They do not have to destroy our lives. And folks, they don't even have to impact our lives. One person once said that it is almost impossible to throw away a garbage can. And he says it's almost impossible to throw away a garbage can because a garbage can is the one thing you can't get the garbage man to take away on trash day. He says you set it out there empty with the other full garbage cans, and when you get home, it's still sitting there. Emotional problems are a lot like trying to get rid of a trash can on trash day. We can want it to go away, but for whatever reason, sometimes it just keeps hanging around. You know, I don't want to fall into the trap of giving everyone simplistic analysis tonight. I don't want you to think that if you're struggling with worry and doubt that it's something that you can just snap a finger at and get over with. I don't want to give you a simplistic approach to dealing with whatever you're struggling with tonight. You know, in 1988, Bobby McFerrin sang a song that apparently hit the top of the charts all over the place, and it went, "Don't worry, be happy." Here's a little song I wrote, and I apologize if I get this stuck in your head for the rest of the night. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, just be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Several years later, Disney kind of came up with a similar approach in The Lion King whenever you had the two little critters singing Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. It ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. Doesn't that sound great? I mean, we just need to adopt a problem-free philosophy, right? Don't worry, be happy, folks. Hakuna Matata. Don't you feel better already? I wish it was that easy. Webster defines worry and anxiety as the following. Webster says that worry means to feel uneasy or anxious. It means to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. It means to fret. Webster defines anxiety as distress or uneasiness of mind, which is caused by fear of danger or misfortune, whether real or imagined. It is a state of psychic tension occurring in some form of mental disorder. What we note in both of these definitions is that whether you're dealing with anxiety, worry, doubt, etc., is that we might define it as just normal, or we might define it as mild, but then again, we might define anxieties and worries in life as abnormal or severe. But like every other emotion that God has given us to feel in life, like any one of the other emotions, God has given each and every one of us even the ability and opportunity to feel anxious. There is a God-given need and there is a God-given function for this emotion. And all of us experience anxiety in some form. All of us experience it as a normal reaction to something. It might be threatening. It might really be dangerous. But it might be something that's uncertain in your life. But then again, it may just be that you're excited about something very important that's about to go down. Normal or mild anxiety, as I've labeled it, can enhance some people's functions. It can make them work better. It can make them work harder. It can motivate them. It can increase productivity. We might say that someone who is dealing with it and handles the situation and works even harder, we might say, you know, they're a person that just works well under pressure. So with all of that being said, some anxieties of life is to be expected, and we shouldn't get rattled about it, as it is a normal God-given function in our lives. But there is another type of it that we note in Webster's definition of worry and anxiety. This definition of worry consists of disturbing thoughts. It consists of things that you imagine or perceive, and it's focused on intense fear. It's focused on you being in danger, whether you really are or not. And this type of severe anxiety is a state of apprehension that absolutely cripples a person to the point that they may not even be able to leave the house to go check the mail. For some people, it becomes such a problem that psychiatrists have labeled it GAD, or generalized anxiety disorder. For them, it is excessive. For them, it is chronic. For them, it interferes with their ability to function in normal daily activities. And it's estimated that millions upon millions of people in this country are suffering with it. More women than men, in case you're wondering, because most men are just too afraid to admit that they have a problem. But what causes us to worry? What causes us to have this apprehensiveness? I mean, we're Christian people, right? I mean, we trust in God, don't we? So how is it possible that we, who have everything to be thankful for, how can we have time in our life to worry? One thing I'm not going to tell you tonight. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you know what, folks, you just have nothing to worry about in your life. Because the truth is that you have a lot of things to worry about in your life. The truth is that life can be difficult, and life can be very challenging, and life can be rough sometimes. Bad things do happen to good people. But then again, bad things also happen to bad people. And bad things also happen to everyone that's in between. Similarly, we often worry because our futures have become just so uncertain. We don't know what the future holds. We can plan. We can do everything possible to be in control, but we will not know what our future holds. Could there be job cuts? Could there be illnesses? Could there be an accident or death or terrorism to impact our lives? Yes, 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 and yes. But we also worry because, as I already said, we're just not in control. We have that illusion that we're in control. We have that illusion that we've got all of life figured out. And look at us, we've got it all managed. But in reality, we're nowhere close. We cannot control the future. We will never be able to control the actions of others. And we cannot control others. You know, sometimes we also worry because of our affluence. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 5:12 says. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Sometimes we're guilty of thinking that the more I have, the more secure that I'm going to feel. The more stuff I have, the more money I have, the more resources at my disposal to protect me, the more comfortable I will be. But the opposite is often true. The bottom line is that there are always going to be things for us to worry about in our lives. But the question for us tonight, for just a few minutes, what is the solution to worry? I believe we find the answer in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. If you want to follow along, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 27. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Point number one. Worry in your life accomplishes absolutely nothing. Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? None of us. Someone once said, don't tell me that worrying does not help, because the things I worry about never even happen. But you know, worry is like a rocking chair. Sure, it gives you something to do for a little while, but it never gets you anywhere. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man, it causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Folks, let's remember, regardless of our circumstance in life, to always remind ourselves that God truly does care about us. Jesus asked a question in our passage, are you not much more valuable than they? God looks after the birds and he looks after the flowers. So won't he also look after us? Because we are more valuable than him than they. The 34th Psalm, verses 17 through 19. Bible tells us that the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Let's also remember tonight, let's put first things first. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Scripture says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles speak or seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Often we worry too much because we're just focused on the wrong things. We worry about what we eat, but sometimes we don't care enough about what we are doing with the life that eating that food is going to make possible. Sometimes we're guilty of focusing on what we will wear, but we aren't concerned enough about what we are doing with the bodies that we're putting these clothes on. We worry about living as long as possible. Sometimes we just don't give enough attention to what we are doing with our life or what will happen in the life to come. Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom and to seek his righteousness. Our main focus and our main goals in life should always be centered in God's reign, not only in our life, but in the work of the church. Let's also remember tonight to take one day at a time. Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The math is not mine, so don't correct me if it's wrong. Compare today with the rest of your life. Today has only 24 hours. The next 40 years has 480 months, 2,080 weeks, 14,600 days, 350,400 hours, and 21,024,000 minutes. If we try to think about everything that might be ahead of us, we will always lose sight of what we have today. I don't know if you're like me in this regard, but have you ever tried to get all the grocery bags in the house at one time instead of taking them in one at a time? If you've ever tried to do it, you probably know what I mean when I say that it's usually a bad idea to try to get them all in at the same time. What I think figuratively Jesus is trying to tell us from this passage of Scripture is, folks, carry your bags in one day at a time. Stop trying to do so much at one time. Someone has written the following, there are 2 days in every week about which we should not worry. 2 days which should be kept free from fear and apprehension. One of these days is yesterday, with all its mistakes and cares, its faults, its blunders, its aches, and its pains. Yesterday is past forever. It is beyond our control. All the money in the world can't bring back yesterday. We cannot undo a single act we performed. We cannot erase a single word we said, for yesterday is gone forever. The other day we should not worry about is tomorrow, with all its possible adversities, its burdens, its large promise and poor performance. Tomorrow is beyond our immediate control. Tomorrow's sun will rise either in splendor or behind a mask of clouds, but it should rise. Until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow, for it is yet to be born. This leaves only one day. It leaves today. Any person can fight the battle of just one day. It is when you and I add the burdens of those two awful eternities, yesterday and tomorrow, that we break down. It is not the experience of today that drives a person mad. It is the remorse or bitterness of something which happened yesterday and the dread of what tomorrow may bring. Let us therefore live one day at a time. Yard by yard, life is hard, but inch by inch, we're going to make it a cinch. Finally tonight, let's remember to pray about everything. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by which prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are these verses saying? It says, don't worry about anything, but take more time to pray about everything. Worry is not going to help you, but prayer sure will. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which works in us. Rather than trusting in our own power and our own wisdom, it's time that we place our trust in God. Anytime we find ourselves beginning to worry or doubt, let that be our invitation and let that be our reminder to pray. Maybe you hear a rumor of a layoff. It's time to pray. Maybe the doctor comes in and says, I better run an additional test. It's time to pray. Maybe your child is struggling in school, or maybe you've got a family member making poor life choices. It's time to pray. Take it to God, and don't just take it to God, leave it with God. In the process, I believe you will find the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We're not in control, but God is. We don't know the future, but God does, so why don't we trust him more? Remember in your daily walk, worry accomplishes nothing. God cares for you. It's time we put first things first and live one day at a time and take time to pray about everything. How's your life tonight? Is it what it needs to be? And if not, why not? Have you ever stood before men confessing Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God, having your sins washed away in baptism? Maybe you have done this at one point in your life, but you have gone out, you have lived in a way that is not pleasing to God. Maybe there is sin in your life that separates you from God tonight. Is there anything we can do for you? Can we help you spiritually? Can we pray for you? Is there anything we can do for you tonight? If so, God calls you to come forward while we stand and sing.